Alumni Talk. Alumni Talk. The time has come to engage in conversations that are yet to be heard. Yet to be heard. While unearthing unique stories about those who are ready to share their stories to inspire and educate you. And educate you. Get ready as we dive deeper into the lives of TUT exceptional alumni. From the heartbeat of Pitori to the world. This is Alumni Talk.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Alumni Talk at Tswana FM 93.6. My name is Lalo V. Davids and I'm back, of course, on this particular show where we are unearthing unique stories from the heartbeat of Pitori to the world. And, of course, I'm not alone in this journey today. She's not alone as well. I'm with Malisele Hlakudi.
Welcome back, sir.
I don't know why you are being so casual about this whole thing of me now being here, because you did great.
It's been like, what, a year? It's been a long time.
You're full of jokes. A year. A whole year. No way. It wasn't like that.
It's been a while, though.
Yeah, but
good to have you back.
No, thank you so much. You know, I did something great, I think, while I was away, which is letting you hold the fort by yourself.
It's like throwing me to the deep end. But it's okay. It happens.
Teaching you how to swim, and you did swim.
And I swam.
So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Yeah. So today our guest is, let me say tonight, our guest is an author, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, Dr. Pimela Ngidi. In 2019, Dr. Ngidi penned and released a biographical offering, moving book titled The Pregnant Mind of an Orphan, aiming to motivate and inspire not only orphans, but everyone in the world who allows their unfavorable circumstances to be a stop sign in their quest of living a fulfilling life. So that's the person we are going to have today as a guest. So, Malisele, that which I was talking about, the thing that I did, I went to my previous high school, right? This past, last week Monday, right? I was called there. I was like, no, we want you to come talk to our students because you're one of those people who, you know, walked the journey in this high school from poverty, and you managed to make it where you are right now doing whatever you are doing. You know what I'm doing. And I think the listeners as well, they know what I'm doing. You always tell them.
Yeah.
And I can say that today they decided that they're going to hold something. I don't know if they're going to send us a voice note or not. They want all the grade 12 listeners, learners, to be listening to us today.
It's nice, man.
So as part of like, okay, that guy, whatever he was talking about, this is it. This is what's happening. So if you want to speak English today, because those group of learners are Tsonga speaking learners. So I'm not sure how many are there who know Speedy or Zulu or any other language. So
I'll speak English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So, as mentioned earlier, our guest today is none other than Dr. Pimela Ngidi. He is an author, entrepreneur, motivational speaker. And if you want to join that conversation, find us on
01
4936, right? It's been 4936, right? And you can also find us on Tswana FM across all social media platforms. Lalo V. Davids across all social media platforms. And Malisele, where do they find you?
Malisele Hlakudi across all social media platforms.
Yeah, and I'm back on Instagram, by the way.
Congrats.
Yeah. Again. And you haven't followed me.
Yo.
It's exactly 5 minutes after the hour, 6, and we are joined by Dr. Pimela Ngidi. Welcome to Alumni Talk, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you very much.
You are a very inspirational person. I think those who have followed your journey, they know the type of a person that you are. But today we are introducing you to a different crowd, to different people, to something new. And we want to know all about it. We want to know all about your journey. You started at TUT a couple of years back. It was even before I got here, because I think when you graduated for the first time, I was a first year student. So so it's been quite a journey. I mean, it's been a very, very, very long time, and you went all the way. You are a doctor now in this very same institution that you started your academic journey with. So tell us about it. How did it start? You came to TUT to start language practice. How was it?
No, it's been a very... it was one of those, you know, when you come to a university, not understanding what you are trying to do, but you do have a faith in yourself that you want to change the situation back at home. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, no, we didn't apply. And you know, our generation, we did not apply, but we'll always try to make a strike to make it a point that the university allows us in, which is not to say that we are promoting that. But for some of us, it was because of financial backgrounds, which really did not permit that we'll have funds to apply at the university level, obviously because of the poor backgrounds. But it's been a very good journey. I think this is my 12th year in Pretoria from the rurals of KZN. Yeah.
Dating back in 2013?
Yeah, dating back 2013, yes.
Wow, it's been amazing. I think this is the second person in the show. Our first guest, who was Hector Motivator.
Yeah.
He walked in as well, just like our guest tonight.
Yes.
And they managed to achieve great things. And look at us right now in the presence of a world doctor. We're talking about the big red regalia. We're talking about the big gown that is red. And, you know, people stand out whenever they wear that one. There's a standing ovation for them at the graduation ceremony. We don't get that.
Not yet. So when I find out what actually influenced you to choose language practice, has it always been your passion or what?
If I may be brutally honest,
yeah,
I wanted to be a teacher. My basic aim, or rather my concentration, was to be an accountant.
Mm.
But because I didn't do well in accounting, in mathematics, and then I came in and then they took me in language practice. And then I always say that God has always been the dictator of our journeys.
Mm.
Because had I not been one of the students in language practice, I don't think I would have been able to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I use the skill, I know we are going to that, but I just want to touch this.
Mm-hmm.
I use the skill of language practice to create a job for myself because it was very tough after our graduations.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way was to see how best you can create a space for yourself within the economy, or rather the market.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I said to myself, because I'm not working, but I have the skill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I also should mention that when I grew up, I used to write very nice, lovely love letters.
Okay.
So women would love me for that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy can write English. So when I came to TUT and then not being able to get the course in education, and then lucky enough, I got it on language, although I did had some overs in public management.
Yeah.
But I felt like this one was going to be much more easier.
Yeah.
And then, yes, I went in and then I wrote a book on it.
You know, before we go ahead, I want to find out, you know, growing up, you were writing those love letters.
Mm.
How many love letters did you get to write since you got to TUT? There's plenty of women that, of course, you may have came across. There's like six different campuses in TUT.
Yeah.
For sure, you spotted someone and be like, oh, I think I like you. Let me just write you a love letter.
Or maybe he had them ready all the time.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? This, like a business card, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is yours. So tell me how you feel. You know, my heart is for you right now.
I think it was just a matter of saying that, you know, when we are gifted, you can't say that you're gifted.
Mm.
It can only be those that are looking at you that may tell you that you are gifted.
Mm.
I'm not sure whether you follow. I never thought that my writings were inspirational or rather influential because I used to write a non-fiction rather, and as well as the fiction books, or rather short stories, because that was a skill, that was a born given talent, not even a skill per se.
Mm.
So that's
wow, amazing stuff. So you came as one of the students who didn't have much. How tough was that to walk a journey in a university landscape and you don't have much?
Well, it was tough.
Yeah,
I can tell you I wouldn't say the name, but I do have got friends who dropped out because mainly they didn't understand that when the only way you are reaching a university, it is through academics.
True.
Whether or not you wear nice clothes, whether or not you drive a car coming to the campus, it doesn't matter. It was very tough, and you know how the bullying may happen, even in classes, wearing the very same T-shirt. Like I always tell people, even in my book, that when I came here, I came for, I think, for the full 3 years, I was changing the clothes that I used to wear at school, plus the ones that I bought when I was doing my matriculant, when I went to the matric dance.
Yeah.
So when I wore the one that I went for the matriculant dance, I felt myself.
You felt like,
So it's just one of those.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you, but there's too much pressure in campuses, and especially, I'm not in a bad way, to people who are of the same caliber, those who are coming from a very humbling backgrounds, we like to fit in whenever, even when the discourse does not permit. I just want to kinya go babonza.
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
If you respect where you are, you'll always be ahead mentally within a perspective, in a vision point of view. Whether or not Klamulo, of the same age as you are, same class as you are, wears better or good, you won't be intimidated. I used to tell people that I used to exploit people whom were having good backgrounds but did not perform academically good.
Yeah.
I would say that, okay, if you want me to help you with the assignment, make sure that you have got food in your house.
Mm.
Because I knew that in my residence.
You didn't have one, yeah.
So you see, that's how some of us got famous, even the famous.
That's
exactly. On the other hand, you are yellow bone, they think that you have got so much.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
Can't you have poor?
Because at that time, I have not good.
Exactly. So it was a very exceptional journey. Sometimes I always wish that I can go back to it. Not necessarily as a poor person, but
yeah.
We didn't have stress. Now we have to stress about end of the month, you need to send money home and whatever. But it was a very great, honest journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Did your upbringing turn you to the man that you are today and influence you to want more for yourself?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. My granny, she passed away this January. She taught us.
May I saw rest in peace.
Yeah, thanks, man. She taught us to have pride, even though we were poor. Not allow the better kids, if I may put it that way, to exploit you in exchange of trying to fit in, you know. So I think respect as well, to respect elders, to respect people in general. If he can tell you himself, we met in a very mutual, although I was academically older than him, but there was never a time where we would want to prove a necessary point.
Yeah.
You know that... I'm not sure whether it's called pride or what, where one would say, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, you must see me.
Pride. I've got a master's.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, when you talk, you want to be listened to, even though you're speaking rubbish, you know? So, yeah, I think my granny and my mom, they really prepared me well.
It's nice, man.
Yeah.
Amazing, amazing. You know... I've seen people in this university, and it's always... who's there to talk to us? Look at him, you know. Like, at one point in our class, if it was about intimidation, like he's saying, at one point in our class, the first time I got to see an iPhone in life was when I came to varsity, where the students would say, "I want a cheap laptop," and then they tell you it's like a cheap laptop. It might be like 3.5. It's like, 3.5 is nothing. That time.
Here's where you can catch your favorite Twan FM DJ this weekend. Saturday, the 11th of May. Just Flavor is at Sweet Mavati in Soweto. Sunday, the 12th of May. Master V is at Peli Bev in Attridgeville. Monday, the 13th of May. Freddie G is at Europa Groove Lounge in Sunnyside. And on Wednesday at Propaganda Lifestyle in Pretoria Central. Taking music from Bidori to the world.
Get ready to witness the ultimate showdown. The 2024 Drummers Extravaganza is coming your way on the 22nd of May at the TET Stadium, starting at 5 p.m. Cheer on as 9 residences from the TET Pretoria campus go head-to-head in a battle of talent and skill. It's going to be an evening filled with electrifying performances and unforgettable moments. Save the date and be part of the excitement at the 2024 Drummers Extravaganza.
world of wannabes. Tshwane FM stands tall as the true authority. We don't just broadcast. We reign supreme over the airwaves. We are Cape City's number one.
And you are still tuning into Alumni Talk at Tshwane FM 93.6. And our guest is Dr. Phumelo Ngidi, and we're still talking about his journey as you know, as a TUT student. He's no longer a TUT student at the moment. He's not a TUT student, but he's one of those who we can, you know, turn to. If you need help, he has helped me out a lot. Mm-hmm. And some of the help that he has offered me, I haven't taken. So I think I still need to go and collect, but we'll work on it. So it's about that. But let's continue having that conversation. You completed four qualifications with five. Five.
You know, can I say something?
Yeah.
It's very funny because, you know, while I was doing all of this, I was also into student politics.
Mm.
I was very active. And, you know, I'm not sure whether should I say it's just because you still want to find yourself in the process, you know?
Mm.
Because some of us, we came here very, very young and very, very honest, if I may say.
Yeah.
But there's one lecturer that I always don't forget. Even when I see her, I always say, I really respect you. And she's now Dr. We used to call her Miss Kabinde. She's a lecturer at TUT Language Practice Department.
Yeah.
He once said to me, Ngidi, Ipoliti, if you don't balance in a school, you are not going to make it.
Sure.
And Ipoliti is not the end of it all. And I think her words, she's that type of a person, a mother-like, you know, and very directive and authoritative as well. So as much as you can say that you were able to complete all this qualification, I'll tell you, fairly, she was the one who calmed me down. As much as I did not for any day in or rather any year, repeated a subject or had, what do you call this again? Rewriting the subject.
Yeah, supplementary.
Any supplementary.
Yeah.
So it was very, very, it was one of those, should I say that.
Yeah. During no re-exams for you.
No.
Life has been good. Yeah. Some of us must come short as flames. Yeah.
But I also think that it's very fair to mention to our brothers and sisters that whatever, regardless whether or not it is politics, whether it is soccer, whatever the case may be, just be careful not to be too occupied and defy the fundamental purpose. Because the purpose is to be at the university and finish your academics, not to be manhandled by all these politics, soccer, music, drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
miss the train.
It must have been some achievement for you to complete your, you know, PhD at the age of 27. You see, I'm correcting myself. Yeah. I said something at 3 to 6 lane.
Yeah.
I said something about you being 28. Yeah. And at the time you graduated, you were not yet 28. So I must put it right now, myself. At the age of 27,
yes,
became a doctor.
Yes.
Now, it must have been some big achievement for you, you know, from where you come from, how you grew up, how you were raised, your background, how people looked at you at some point when you came to varsity as well. It's like, ninga mboni soma. This, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's very amazing. I won't lie to you. And I think I'm the second youngest in the entire university. The guy who graduated, he was 26, because at some point my supervisors wanted to challenge that my name be in the deanery's office as one of the youngest, because I was actually 26 turning 27 October 29 when I graduated. It was very exciting. But
is the youngest the next one?
I'm not sure.
We need to find out who the youngest was.
The youngest is 26 though, I'm sure.
Yeah.
26 years, yes.
Nice.
Sure. So what influenced you to continue with language practice?
No, I felt in love with it.
Just love.
Yeah, and also the opportunities.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, as much as people would say that there are no opportunities in the qualification, or rather to the field, that there's no such. You open doors for yourself. But we should also address the matter that Dr. Blaine Zimande emphasizes every day the issue of studying what is needed, what the market needs. Mm. Don't be like ourselves. We work from the rurals. We had no idea that whatever that we're studying, which was not completely a demand in the market.
Yeah.
But I would say that please, whenever as a student, like you said, that there are students who are listening to us, help them. Mm. Please do qualifications which are needed in the market.
Mm. Mm. Okay. I don't know how you got to journalism. But it's fine, you're doing the job now. It's fine, we see you.
You just had to,
I just had to put that in. I don't know who influenced you. I didn't even know you at the time. So I don't know how you got into this industry, but thank you. You're welcome. You are here with us. Mm. But let's talk about those opportunities in language practice. You know, if there is a language practice, or let me say a language practitioner who's listening to us right now, maybe in their first year or second year, some of them maybe got into it without knowing exactly what this qualification is all about. Mm. Or those who completed, I've met few who completed and it's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And they still want to continue studying. But the issue is, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, some of them, they haven't even identified some of the things that they can, you know, maybe a career path that they can, you know, go for after graduating. Where can they tap in when it comes to the market, or what kind of opportunities can they create for themselves?
To start with, our course, if I may put it that way, or rather program, there's no way there's no communication duty. Mm. Every department has got communication, because communication is the one is that which assists us to put through our thoughts, our emotions, our ideas, and everything else. Now, you go to media, you find us, right?
Yeah.
I just want to be strategic to this. Mm. We made mistakes to study for the entire 3 years and thought that we are equivalent to the task, which was incorrect. Mm. If you are in language practice, firstly, you need to fall in love with it.
Yeah.
Secondly, find passion where you can fit. Go to the Soshanguve Magistrate Court, ask to be a volunteer at your first year. Meaning to say that when you are done with your qualification for 3 years, then you have got 3 years experience, whether as an interpreter or a translator.
Mm.
Get the sense?
Mm.
Then you go to the SAPC. The thing is, we all want to be the best, or rather to be there. We do not want to understand that it all starts
from the bottom.
Right?
Yeah.
There is a time in life where you need to be a volunteer. I think that's where people are missing it. Now, the opportunities are plenty.
Yeah.
Whether in the form of being a lecturer, in the form of working with the newspaper as an editor, in the form of going to people who are yourselves, your speeches need us to come and edit for you. Right?
Yeah.
They are countless. It's just a matter of understanding that in our day and time, you create your own CV. The qualification doesn't, because we are all having masters, having diplomas. But if you position yourself, like I'm saying, that if you go and volunteer for 3 years, you've got 3 years experience. So you and I, we are not equivalent anymore. You get the sense? So that's where people are missing the point. Whether or not you are, I once taught in your department at some point. And I told the other lady, she was a very good Tswana speaking lady. I really didn't understand Tswana by then, to be honest. But she was very good in Tswana. You can tell from the manner in which she articulates. I said, go and volunteer. Find, because her passion was on radio. Mm. I said, go to Soshanguve radio station. I even tried to call another guy there to assist that she does the practices, or rather they're voluntary.
Yeah.
That's what we need to do. And that's where we are missing we are missing it. We want to wait for the completion of the qualification and then try to say that we are equivalent to the task, which is incorrect.
Mm. Yeah. Amazing.
I don't know how we got too serious. We were talking love letters at some point. But here we are, but it's important stuff.
Yeah.
I think people hate volunteering. And I understand sometimes you volunteer in workplaces where you see other people coming in with less experience or not even qualified, getting these opportunities and getting paid for it. But at some point in this day and age, we need to create our own CVs.
Yeah.
That's how we start our careers. Exactly. That's how we open doors for ourselves.
Yeah.
So to this now, who contributed more into your growth since you came to TUT? Who maybe that lecturer that you looked up to, or that one person who was like, no, you know what, Bumelo, you got something in you, and I feel like you can go far.
I think you already mentioned one.
One.
Yeah, that lady, you said, Nima Nkabindo,
Now she's doing, but Miss Nkabindo, we call her Miss Nkabindo.
Yeah.
I'll say it her significantly because even when I was doing my master's, I'll be honest, when I was doing my PhD, rather, the way people were telling me that you are never going to be employed with so much high education without an experience.
Mm.
She said to me, Pimelo, have you ever seen a doctor who's unemployed? I said, my mangazi ngimbo, I said, go and study then. And then my supervisor, Professor Krigis and Dr. Mandende, those two were really...
Yeah,
and then of course we have our lovely partners. Yeah, she's been always here.
Yeah, I'm a love letter.
How many love letters does she get?
How many love letters does she get?
I think that one didn't care about love letters. She was concerned about my vision.
Yeah,
yeah, because I always whatever I am today, I spoke it. Mm. I said it that I'll be this one day.
Mm.
It doesn't matter how long it took. But yeah.
Speak it into existence.
Exactly.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah.
How did TUT empower you?
No, TUT. It's very hard to leave this place. You know, when I had zero experience, they gave us tutorship.
Mm.
After tutorship, they said, Ngidi, now you are a doctoral student. Come and be
a lecturer.
You know? And if I be honest with you, it's not easy to live here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why they call it People's University. Because, you know, TUT, we become family then being colleagues.
Mm.
They become our parents then being our lecturers.
Mm.
You know? And the very same Kabinde as well.
Yeah.
Is the one that said, go and put your CV there.
Yeah.
You know?
Amazing.
And then, yeah. Which is, I'm saying that TUT has been nothing but the best.
I think for the high school learners that are listening,
should
come to TUT.
Come here.
But again, it's worth mentioning, respect elders.
Mm.
Even today, I'm a doctor. We are colleagues for some stage. I resigned TUT some years back, but I always call her ma'am. Because we are from
It
doesn't change. Even now, we have got Dr. Mbat. I always call her ma'am. And it's not... to say Noktula.
Yeah.
Or Kamalak, Lindi, Miss Kabind is Lindi, something like that, Kamalak. Lungi, yeah, Lungi. It's hard.
Mm.
Because we are from that type of generation
where
elders will remain elders. Whether your pocket is deeper than hers, it doesn't matter.
Wow, that's amazing. Let's get to the market, and then we'll be covering mostly his book, Journey.
2024 is the year we all learn how to manage our money more responsibly. And FNB's hashtag Help Yourself is here to help us do just that. This month, we're learning all about debt, what it is, how it works, and how to make it work for us, including what to do if you're over indebted. Tune in to hashtag Help Yourself, the financial education program brought to you by FNB, a division of First Rand Bank Limited.
Not just playing the game. We are rewriting the rules. We are Tshwane FM 93.6, Cape City's number one. Connect with us on WhatsApp
012-382-4936.
Are you a TET alumni with a story to tell that is going to inspire a fellow student or alumni? Feel free to share with us your story and we could feature you on our social media platforms, TET website, Our Beat Newsletter Magazine or Alumni Talk. Tell us about your career, the great things that you've accomplished since graduating at TET or the technicon you attended before the merger. If you've published a book, just like Dr. Pimulengedi, or started a business or invented a product, we want to know all about it and how TET helped you to get there. Submit your story of 250 words or less, along with a high-resolution photo to alumni at tet.ac.za. Don't forget to add the following information: your name and surname, graduation year, degree or diploma, cell phone number or email address.
20 FM. Because ordinary radio just won't cut it.
And it's exactly 29 minutes before the hour 7. We are still in that conversation, unearthing unique stories from the heartbeat of Pretoria to the world with the one and only Dr. Pimulengedi, one of the youngest doctors at the Tshwane University of Technology. He studied language practice. So he's a language practitioner, this gentleman that I have so much respect for, of course. And right now, we just want to cover one last question before we get into the book that he wrote that inspired so many people. And that book is titled The Pregnant Mind of an Orphan. So right now, the question that I have for him, it's simple, rather. He's, you know, in academics. He's still continuing lecturing. He's in academia. And he writes and publishes articles, academic articles. So, and also he supervises, you know, your master's, doctoral candidates as well. So just want to know, like, how are you finding this experience?
It's a very nice experience. It's a very, very nice experience, of course. But it's worth mentioning that sometimes it can take you out of your comfort zone, because when you are a supervisor of a master's student or a doctoral student, in a way you're learning as well, and you find people with a very deeper experience and knowledge. But it's all about learning and, you know, writing, and it's not easy, but it's a very good journey. We are still, if there is, junior doctors, we're still very young.
Yeah.
Still trying to learn, trying to understand the dynamics and the practices within the discourse of supervision and writing articles as well.
Okay.
Yes.
That's amazing. That was the last question that we needed to cover when it comes to his academics. Right now, let's get into that book. You are an author of a biographical book titled The Pregnant Mind of an Orphan, aiming to motivate and inspire not only orphans, but everyone in the world who allows their unfavorable circumstances to be a stop sign in their quest to living a fulfilling life. Tell us more about this book.
Well, I wrote this book, like I've said earlier, that I wrote this book mainly, I think I was still very angry at my father back then, mainly because I never knew my father. My mom passed away when I was very young. So the part of me said, you're not working and you're still trying to pursue academics. Rather, find something that you won't need to pay anyone for and create a job for yourself. Because I think that's what's very significant. You have got good engineers. Some can start, they can employ themselves, if I may put it that way. Looking at what is happening now, the government is dramatically failing to assist. So the only best way is to see how can you equip yourself, employ yourself, which I think, again, it goes back to why language practice. Why is it the best, if I may say?
Yeah.
You can employ yourself. You don't need anyone. You don't need to explain yourself to anyone.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think that's part of the reason to say that that's why I wrote the book. I wanted to put down my, I would say, my anger, if that's the correct term. I wanted to inspire those whom have got suicidal thoughts, which is one of the things which is killing young people in our days, depression. Mm. To say, don't kill yourself. Some of us have been poor like no one's business. I always tell my friends that at some point in life, I used to weigh 20 as the size.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, 20. from 28. Mm. You can imagine how thin I was.
Yeah.
Right? Because I was poor and hungry, going to the library, staying there for the whole day, not necessarily sometimes because you're still studying, but you are there mainly because you know when you go back to your room, it's going to be depressing and bringing back the emotions that you are poor and why are you studying, you know? Especially when you're a graduate, the thought of killing yourself, they always come there. When you say, I'm applying, but not even a single interview call, all right? But continue to study, equip yourself that when the opportunity comes, you are ready. You know, you don't say, no, I'm still going to be registering for my BTEP or advance. Mm. You don't do that. So, yeah, that's the point, yeah.
Your book is titled The Pregnant Mind of an Orphan. What inspired the title?
Because I am, the orphan is I.
Mm.
When I say the pregnant mind, I was being figurative, that I've got a vision. You know, a timing of a woman, when a person says, when a woman is pregnant, it's when a woman has got something in her tummy, that which is figuratively my mind. Mm. And then what I wanted to say, or rather what I was trying to say is that I was protecting what I have, what is inside my tummy. Mm. That there were things that I wanted to do, but I couldn't do.
Mm.
There were people I wanted to hang up with, but I couldn't. Mm. Because I wanted to change the circumstances at home.
Mm.
So, which is why I said the pregnant mind of an orphan. Literally, a mind can never be pregnant.
Mm.
But even today, from one state to the other, I always say, my pregnancy, it does not stop in 9 months. I always say that. It's a continuous thing.
Mm.
Because every day, every year, I want to achieve something.
Mm.
I always check myself. Ngidi, what have you achieved this year? What did you fail to achieve? What did you achieve unplanned?
Mm.
All right?
Yeah.
So that's what I was trying to do. That's what I was trying to say to the other orphans, that, like you said correctly, I was not only talking to orphans.
Mm.
I was talking to everyone, whomever you are in your own respective struggles, that don't throw the towel.
Yeah.
It's always dark at the end of the...
of the tunnel.
Very well. Mm. But eventually the lights will come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Amazing. Let's talk about copies now, selling these copies.
Mm.
If you can remember tracking down the number of copies, because I remember like in 2019, you were almost everywhere.
Yeah. Whether it's a church, it's a media interview, you were there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, you know, selling the copies. Like, how many copies, like, do you remember selling?
I think it would be plus or minus 600.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Wow.
Remember, I did a book launch, which became a conference, which was the most successful book launch with a zero budget.
Amazing stuff.
I won't lie to you. I didn't have any cash. Well, bank to it up. So...
I remember the launch.
And the reason why I will never forget was because I was also using the money from my book to pay those I wanted to come.
Oh, yeah.
And the venue, and also to rent.
Mm.
You know, my book was just a very great fundamental step for me to wherever I am today.
Wow.
Yeah, but I stopped releasing copies when I was busy with my PhD,
mainly
because I wanted to finish this.
Because,
like you're saying, that I completed my PhD turning 27, and I did my PhD a year and 6 months, if not 7 months.
Mm.
So it's one of the breaking records as well. So
that was quick.
Yeah. And especially when you know what you are trying to achieve.
Mm.
Yeah. Because as much as the book was good, remember it was a self-published book. It doesn't have so much powerful influence than, like, rather, the books which are published by the big companies.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I had to stop because... as much as you're chasing this good 200 rand or rather 160 per copy, I also needed to secure my life.
Mm.
Because the money that I was getting was not enough to also support at home.
Mm.
I can also, I did look after myself, but I had a granny that was always praying for me to be something better and having a home as well for us.
Yeah.
Yes.
So can you please walk us through your journey of having to grow up without knowing your biological father?
Well, it's painful. That one, I won't lie. It's very painful. And it also does create a sort of anger. Mm. I was very abusive. You know, especially when it comes to women, I didn't trust that any woman loves me for real.
Mm.
Because I always heard that if my father loved my mom enough,
he would have stayed.
He would have stayed. And he would have not said, this is not my child while I was still pregnant. My mom was still pregnant. Mm. And when he knew very well that he was my mother's virgin breaker.
So, yeah.
So I had that anger, as, which resulted into physicality. And, mm-hmm. you know, I needed to rehabilitate myself.
Mm.
Take myself through the likes of therapist
and
calm myself down. Because I'm telling you, had I've gone through that journey, maybe I would have been in jail now. Because I had so much anger.
How did you find out? Did you find out through the society? Because community talks, your mother told you?
Yes, my mom told me a day before she passed on that Ntombe is not your biological father. Your biological father is like Kumar.
Mm.
And he rejected you while I was still pregnant. And that's when he told me that he's my first in our language.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and then the following day, she passed on.
Okay. And then,
so you can imagine.
And then knowing someone else as your father, all right, and you are told now this person is not really your actual father. Mm. Your biological father is this particular person who rejected you.
Mm.
Did that affect your relationship with the person whom you knew as your father? Or you still have a great relationship right now?
If I may be honest with you, I had a great relationship with my father.
Mm.
I always say that, yes, there are clashes here and there, which I always observe, or rather I've always observed with people whom are biologically related to each other, the mother and the son, fight.
Mm.
So even today, yesterday, we were talking that I'm going to be buying clothes, telling me that his clothes are now old and everything.
That's amazing.
I'm trying to show you how deep it is.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, we're still in touch, and he lives with my siblings because I'm the firstborn to my mother, and I've got four siblings, and we don't have this thing of they are not your biological siblings because they are not your father. We don't have that.
Yeah.
So just before we go on, did he know all the time that you were?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Big ups to that man.
Hey.
And I always, when mom, after, when I was doing grade 10s, he said to me, your mom actually lied to me that you were not his son. He said you were his younger brother's son. Because she wanted to come with you, Kolinyalung. That's what they say.
Mm.
And then my father said, when you were growing up, I always saw your mother's features. The manner in which you eat, the complexion and everything.
Mm.
But at some point, I did raise it to her that, and my mom didn't talk so much, but you just talk once.
And that's it.
Yeah. Case closed. But I think my father, because of the relationship, like it goes back to what I said, the respect I gave him, it did not create any tension. Because sometimes, can I say something? Sometimes what creates this awful relationship with our stepdads or stepmoms, sometimes I blame us as well as kids. Sometimes we do not want to accept that these people are stepping in another person's shoes, or rather stepping on another person's shoes.
True.
So you want him to be perfect and holy while your biological mother will never be that, or rather your biological father. So these are the things that we need to take into account, and also respect that these people, they are not doing favors per se, but they are stepping on other person's foot.
Wow. Amazing stuff. You know, you talk about, I think also some part in the book and some of the interviews that have, like, you know, had you in, and some of the speeches that you've given to people, you talk about also knowing that at some point, you know, being rejected, you know, from the, before you were even born, you were still in your mom's womb. It did channel some sort of, like, thoughts in your mom. to maybe let me get rid of this child,
yeah.
right? Mm. Knowing that, you know, your late mother had God and that did help her to keep you, and you're still with us right now, and we thank God for that. You know, how difficult was it to reflect in that on that memory that, you know, this almost happened, you almost didn't make it into this world, but here you are because God didn't allow me to let you go.
But I think it's how you allow, you must control your thoughts. I'm just going to say that because, you know, there were times in life when I was very, very poor, if I may say, or rather struggling the most. As a result, I wanted to, I questioned all of that. I questioned the issue of my mom. I questioned the issue of my dad. And my granny, on the other hand, she's also very poor, and she's from a polygamy family. And my grandfather doesn't care about us, or rather even her wife. So it was just a mixed masala, if I may put it in that way. But you choose what you allow in your mind. You know, don't bring all the evil thoughts and negative thoughts. They will always distract the purpose of God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So according to my research and observations, there's a stigma around orphans that some people believe that individuals that don't have parents shouldn't amount to anything. Yes. Have you ever experienced such energy from other people?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very sad because I did, even in part of my family. There were those that thought that because I think I'm the only one, if not mistaken, from my granny's generation who doesn't have both parents.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, I didn't care about it because my granny was everything to me. But the family members themselves, they always remind you that you are nothing. And they don't even say ushonile, because the word ushonile in isiZulu, it's a respect. They will tell you that you feel and everything. But it is that is why I said the pregnant mind of an orphan. It's you are the master. You are the driver of everything in your life.
I
had that, and there were even jealousy of how I used to be called at school to go and represent that, picked up and go and do that. And because the stigma was that this one is an orphan, he shouldn't amount to anything. And that, and another thing, as orphans, we should, they always say, my friends always say, I'm not an orphan anymore because I'm a father now. But I want to say, don't as well as an orphan try to find love everywhere. Love yourself the most. Right? Anything that comes outside of you, it's a bonus. Because sometimes we want to be loved. The moment she shows you her true colors, you totally collapse. Don't. Love yourself, believe in yourself, and have that. My granny would say that. Kuluma no mawako. And then koko kuluma kuti no mamamati. Uyakulalela, uyakuzwa. She's an angel now. She can listen. She can hear you. Talk to her. Tell her that you love her. Tell her that you miss her. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it needs a strong mind or strong position to do that, because really you'll do one mistake and then they'll punish you for, like, you have killed somebody, mainly because you don't have any mom or dad to stand up for you and say it's enough, the punishment has fulfilled the purpose.
Wow.
You see, so the way those circumstances, and even outside, man, when you look and listen to other kids, they'll tell you that my dad is going to buy me this. You know those kids.
Yeah.
And my dad is going to be buying me, especially us who love soccer. I'm a soccer boots.
Yeah.
No one will buy. Your granny will never. You're poor, first of all. Who's
going to buy them? You'll play that football barefoot.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's just a good one, though.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Although some people, when God put them in a specific position, sometimes some of them, they've got anger, some of them they can't go back and reach out to the others and say, come, let me pick you up. You know, because I think that's another thing that we do. God will never come on earth and say, my child, I'm going to help you to be here. He will use a human being, because there are many people, like I can tell you, there's a new mama to Onoi, my granny used to call her Ngamalaki. I used to go to school on barefoot. She would give me girls' shoes to wear because of how she saw the situation and how she also saw how I would perform academically, especially when I was still in the primary schools and the high schools and the secondary schools. So, I'm sorry to take long, but I want to say we are built by the community. And not everything from the community is positive. There are those who remind you how poor you are. There are those who will see something in you. All right? And there are those who will see something in you and use it. They call it the superstitious appendages, where a person will use your talent at her advantage, not necessarily to assist you in it. Like I was saying, that to those who that will assist you with their homeworks and the assignments and everything else. But love yourself first before you can expect love from outside.
Wow. Yeah. They say it takes a village to raise a child. I think raising that child doesn't mean that only positive things are going to come out from the village. Yes, the village might try to drag you down, but only to motivate you to become a better person. We are talking about the pregnant mind of an orphan. But right now, I want to move into something exactly 8 minutes before the hour 7. We are about to wrap up this conversation where we are unearthing unique stories. This is a unique story to tell you the truth. It's a story about none other than Dr. Pimelo Ngidi, who is an author, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and academia. He's doing so many things, and we are really proud of him. As Alumni Talk, Malisela and I, we are getting inspired more and more. You talk about releasing another book.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's coming towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it has a title yet, and if it does, hope you don't mind revealing to tell us. You know, the title of the book and how different is it from the one that we already know?
Well, the title is Crawling in Tears to Meet My Destiny.
Wow.
You know, trying to say we are going forward no matter what. No matter the circumstances, no matter the unforeseen, no matter the haters, you know. And on this one, I'm trying to use the little, as young as we may be, the experiences that we have gone through past certain stages in life. Because right now, it's a different motion altogether. We are now trying to find ourselves in properties. We're trying to teach ourselves in businesses. Some of us, we grew up in a different environment where no one has been a businessman at home. You are now trying to find yourselves within that, all right? So that's what I'm trying to say, that, how do I say this? Compelling yourself, or rather pushing against the odds, all right? But Tiama social feeling being, that's what we're trying to say.
Yep.
In that book, I'm trying to say that push against the odds. It's never easy, it will never be easy, and you don't need anyone to be what you want to be, except you and your thoughts alone. There's an idiom which I love the most, which says, if there's no enemy within, an enemy outside shall do us no harm. Meaning to say that if you're not against yourself, right, if you trust yourself, you know, when you wake up in the morning and say, I'm very handsome and I'm smart, all right, you eventually become that. But if you doubt yourself on a regular basis, you become that. So that's what I'm trying to say with this book. I'm still busy with it. Took me some time, because sometimes I go to other things and, you know, trying to find what can work best for us.
So for those who want to get a copy for the first book, The Pregnant Mind of an Orphan, how do they go about that? Where can they find it?
Well, I think you can. Yeah, my name is Pimelo Ngidi on Facebook, and TikTok is Dr. P. It's Dr. Pimelo Ngidi. Yeah, I do make those such arrangements. As much as I've said that, I did stop to print out because the consumption of time.
But also on Facebook and also on Instagram, you have multiple accounts. How do they know which one to use?
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
The Instagram, the Twitter, they were there because I had a team that I was working with.
Oh.
And I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. Mina, you can't even find the words.
The X.
The X.
It's called X now.
Yeah, and the G. Is it Instagram?
Instagram.
So on Facebook, which one should they use?
You can use any.
Okay.
Even now when I was coming here, there were those who were inboxing me, telling me that I know that we're coming here. We saw the post that I posted on Facebook.
Yeah.
They inboxed me and then I did reply to them.
Okay. Because
Instagram, there's no academic in Instagram. You can't have time for that. Not in a bad way.
Yeah.
But sometimes we are really consumed. You know? Mm,
yeah. You don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up?
I don't know what I have time for. I do have time for alumni talks. So.
Yeah.
And Instagram, of course. But I don't really...
But you're back.
I'm back. I don't really post myself in such, but it's just for me to scroll through reels and stuff, you know, just like follow my favorite stuffs. But, you know, it's one of those. Just to like clarify, just to make sure. Somebody asked me, 600,000 copies you sold for The Pregnant Mind of an Orphan.
Yeah.
600,000 copies. Okay.
Plus or minus.
Plus or minus. Yes. Amazing stuffs. Amazing stuff. So, thank you so much. Before I even thank you, let me do this for you. Just because of the sake of time,
yes,
wanted us to get into other businesses. Like, he's also in property as well. You know, like, it's not only the academic stuff. It's not only, you know, him being an author and a publisher. He's also in property as well, starting to work in property. So these are people who is one of those people who are, you know, trying to make a difference in their lives and to say, where I come from, it won't really determine where I'm going. Yeah. I'm going to show you who I am, what the hunger that I had inside me, I'm going to unleash it in different, you know, ways possible. And that's what it's doing. So big ups to you. And thank you so much for making time for us. And we're looking forward to that next book. And we want to learn about, you know, the tears.
Yeah. So there's going to be a book launch. I'd love to be there.
Yes, definitely.
Are we getting the first invite?
Yes, you should.
certainly, yes.
So, thank you so much. And before we wrap up, I want to, you know, remind some of you that are listening to us right now that as we live here, there's a show called Pitori Originals Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And it's called Pot.
Yes.
In short, right? Yes. So there's Pod tonight, and it's taking place somewhere in Danville. It's called Back What? It's, you know this. You're going there. I know.
No. The Bright.
Oh, you don't know it. Yeah. But it's taking place in Danville, and some of your favorite DJs, like DJ Box, African Roots, and Black Motion will be there. MCs Prodi and Hoshi Hadi, they will be holding it down from 7 o'clock until the hour 11. So it's going down right there. So do check it out. If you want to do something in Pretoria tonight, that's what you need to check out. Check out our socials as well. That's where you're going to find the information regarding this particular, you know, show, this particular event.
I have the name now.
Yeah.
The Braai Maestro.
The Braai Maestro. Yay. That's where it's going down right now. Thank you so much. It's Alumni Talk with Nhlalo, V. Davids, and Malisele Hlakudi. Do find us on social media at TET Alumni as well. Do follow us right there. Like us and share with us some of the stories that you have, and we'll be able to talk to you. And one thing I need to highlight as well, he's a TET Rage team. Dr. Bailey said the same thing, said this became a family as well the last time we had a conversation with her. So it seems like we're going to have a lot of people who TET Rage, and it's really inspiring. That from us, it's thank you and good night.
Thank you.
We are not here to compete. We are here to dominate. Swane FM, the unstoppable force of radio in Pitori and beyond.